I know a way we can discover what the Corps is up to, said Johnny as we rode alone in a rented jet boat on Mare Infinitus. But it would be dangerous. So what else is new? I'm serious. We should only attempt it if we feel that it is imperative to understand what the Corps fears from Hyperion. I do. We will need an operative, someone who is an artist in datum plane operations, someone smart, but not so smart that they won't take a chance, and someone who would risk everything and keep the secret just for the ultimate in cyberpuke pranks. I grinned at Johnny. I've got just the man. Bibi lived alone in a cheap apartment at the base of a cheap tower in a cheap TC-squared neighborhood. But there was nothing cheap about the hardware that filled most of the space in the four-room flat. Most of Bibi's salary for the past standard decade had gone into state-of-the-art cyberpuke toys. I started by saying that we wanted him to do something illegal. Bibi said that, as a public employee, he couldn't consider such a thing. He asked what the thing was. Johnny began to explain. Bibi leaned forward, and I saw the old cyberpuke gleam in his eyes from our college days. I half expected him to try to dissect Johnny right there just to see how a cybrid worked. Then Johnny got to the interesting part, and Bibi's gleam turned into a sort of green glow. When I self-destruct my AI persona, said Johnny, the shift to cybrid consciousness will take only nanoseconds, but during that time, my section of the core perimeter defenses will drop. The security phages will fill the gap before too many more nanoseconds pass, but during that time... Entry to the core, whispered Bibi, his eyes glowing like some antique VDT. It would be very dangerous, stressed Johnny. To my knowledge, no human operator has ever penetrated core periphery. Bibi rubbed his upper lip. There's a legend that Cowboy Gibson did it before the Corps seceded, he mumbled. But nobody believes it, and Cowboy disappeared. Even if you penetrate, said Johnny, there would be insufficient time to access, except for the fact that I have the data coordinates. Fan-fucking-tastic, whispered Bibi. He turned back to his console and reached for his shunt. Let's do it. Now? I said. Even Johnny looked taken aback. Why wait? Bibi clicked in his shunt and attached metacortex leads, but left the deck idling. Are we doing this or what? I went over next to Johnny on the couch and took his hand. His skin was cool. He showed no expression now, but I could imagine what it must be like to be facing imminent destruction of one's personality and previous existence. Even if the transfer worked, the human with the John Keats persona would not be Johnny. He's right, said Johnny. Why wait? I kissed him. All right, I said. I'm going in with Bibi. No. Johnny squeezed my hand. You can't help, and the danger would be terrible. I heard my own voice, as implacable as Mena Gladstone's. Perhaps, but I can't ask Bibi to do this if I won't, and I won't leave you in there alone. I squeezed his hand a final time and went over to sit by Bibi at the console. How do I connect with this fucking thing, Bibi? You've read all the cyberpuke stuff. You know all about the terrible beauty of datum plane, the three-dimensional highways with their landscapes of black ice and neon perimeters, and day-glow strange loops, and shimmering skyscrapers of data blocks under hovering clouds of AI presence. I saw all of it riding piggyback on BB's carrier wave. It was almost too much, too intense, too terrifying. I could hear the black threats of the hulking security phages. I could smell death on the breath of the counterthrust tapeworm viruses, even through the ice screens. I could feel the weight of the AI's wrath above us. We were insects under elephants' feet, and we hadn't even done anything yet except travel approved dataways on a logged-in access errand BB had dreamed up, some homework stuff for his flow control records and statistics job. And I was wearing stick-on leads, seeing things in a datum plane version of fuzzy black-and-white TV, while Johnny and BB were viewing full StimSim Hollow, as it were. I don't know how they took it. "Okay," whispered BB in some datum plane equivalent of a whisper. "We're here." "Where?" All I saw was an infinite maze of bright lights and even brighter shadows, 10,000 cities arrayed in four dimensions. "Core periphery," whispered BB. "Hang on, it's about time." I had no arms to hang on to, and nothing physical in this universe to grasp, but I concentrated on the waveform shades that were our data truck and clung. Johnny died then. I've seen a nuclear explosion firsthand. When Dad was a senator, he took Mom and me to Olympus Command School to see a force demonstration. For the last course, the audience viewing pod was farcast to some godforsaken world, Armagast, I think, and a force-ground recon platoon fired a clean tactical nuke at a pretend adversary some 9 clicks away. The viewing pod was shielded with a Class 10 containment field, polarized, the nuke only a 50-kiloton field tactical, but I'll never forget the blast, the shockwave rocking the 80-ton pod like a leaf on its repellers, the physical shock of light so obscenely bright that it polarized our field to midnight and still brought tears to our eyes and clamored to get in. This was worse. A section of datum plane seemed to flash and then to implode on itself, reality flushed down a drain of pure black. "Hang on!" BB screamed against datum plane static that rasped at my bones, and we were whirling, tumbling, sucked into the vacuum like insects in an oceanic vortex. Somehow, incredibly, impossibly, black armored phages thrust toward us through the din and madness. BB avoided one, turned the other's acid membranes against itself. We were being sucked into something colder and blacker than any void in our reality could ever be. "There!" called BB, his voice analog almost lost in the tornado rush of ripping datasphere. "There what?" Then I saw it. A thin line of yellow rippling in the turbulence like a cloth banner in a hurricane. BB rolled us, found our own wave to carry us against the storm, matched coordinates that danced past me too quickly to see, and we were riding the yellow band into what? Frozen fountains of fireworks, transparent mountain ranges of data, endless glaciers of ROM works, access ganglia spreading like fissures, iron clouds of semi-sentient internal process bubbles, glowing pyramids of primary source stuff, each guarded by lakes of black ice and armies of black pulse phages. "Shit," I whispered to no one in particular. BB followed the yellow band down, in, through. I felt a connection, as if someone had suddenly given us a great mass to carry. "Got it!" screamed BB, and suddenly there was a sound louder and larger than the maelstrom of noise surrounding and consuming us. It was neither klaxon nor siren, but it was both in its tone of warning and aggression. We were climbing out of it all. I could see a vague wall of gray through the brilliant chaos, and somehow knew it to be the periphery, the vacuum dwindling but still breaching the wall like a shrinking black stain. We were climbing out, but not quickly enough. The phages hit us from five sides. During the 12 years I've been an investigator, I've been shot once, knifed twice. I've had more than this one rib broken. This hurt more than all that combined. Bibi was fighting and climbing at the same time. My contribution to the emergency was to scream. I felt cold claws on us, pulling us down, back into the brightness and noise and chaos. Bibi was using some program, some formula of enchantment to fight them off, but not enough. I could feel the blows slamming home, not against me primarily, but connecting to the matrix analog that was Bibi. We were sinking back. Inexorable forces had us in tow. Suddenly, I felt Johnny's presence, and it was as if a huge, strong hand had scooped us up, lifted us through the periphery wall an instant before the stain snapped our lifeline to existence, and the defensive field crashed together like steel teeth. We moved at impossible speed, down congested dataways, passing datum plane couriers and other operator analogs like an EMV ripping past ox carts. Then we were approaching a slow time gate, leapfrogging gridlocked exiting operator analogs in some four-dimensional high jump. I felt the inevitable nausea of transition as we came up out of the matrix. Light burned my retinas. Real light. Then the pain washed in and I slumped over the console and groaned.